Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
Our scripture reading today will come from Mark 2, 1 through 12. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard he was in the house. And immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. And then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come in near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, so when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Sons, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God?" But immediately, then Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately then he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, and so that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Please be seated.
It truly is an honor and such a privilege to be able to stand before you and to have worship with the family of God that worship here in West Huntsville. Thank you for being the support that you are. Thank you for the sounding that doctrine and standing for the truth. This time we'd like to thank the elders for this golden opportunity has given to me to proclaim the word of God. Thank you so much. Also, we'd like to thank the deacons and the preachers and also the wonderful congregation here. But a special thank you to ages 3 and 4 of this congregation. This month, I've been receiving so much cards of encouragement from them, and I thank you so much. It has touched my heart and encouraged me. I promise my family won't cry. But those cards have encouraged me, and your love that you care for me as I pursue my goal, not only to become a godly man, but a tool for his kingdom in Samoa. I also did share the link. I asked my sister to share the link. I know hopefully those in American Samoa at this time could tune in at this moment. Should be 7:45 in the morning. And I left them with a message. It's a good way to begin their morning to tune in today's message. If you would open God's book to Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, that was read for our scripture reading this evening. From there, I will be speaking on the topic, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. We see, we will spend most of our time in this chapter. And at the same time, we'll make application from this chapter for our lesson this afternoon. We see from that chapter that Jesus entered back into Capernaum. Capernaum is known as Jesus' second home. In the text, we see that as he entered into Capernaum, a crowd, a great multitude gathered to see him. And we see that in verse 2. And in verse 2, we see that as they gathered, Jesus preached unto them. While Jesus was preaching unto them, there were four friends with their sick friend seeking Jesus. And that is what we will begin this afternoon, our first point. We will look at the story of these four men with their sick friend with the palsy seeking help. It says in verse 3 and 4, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed within, wherein the sick of the palsy laid. We see that there were four friends. We can see it from the text that four friends were bore each corner of the bed. And we could get more information of this same story as it records in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 5, verse 18 to verse 19. There it says, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and laid him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling of his couch into the midst before Jesus. So we see that there's four friends bringing a sick man with the palsy. The man with the palsy can be defined that needs more attention, a person that needs more caring. A definition for it, a person that suffers from relaxings of the nerves of one side. Disabled or a weak limb. As I prepare of this lesson, could help think of my nephew Mel. He can't move. And so much work to be done for the caring of him. See, sometimes when we read the scriptures, we tend to overread and forget about some of the important stuff of the scripture until it really happens to you. And that I see of the palsy of someone that really is helpless. But we see of the four friends that came to his aid. These friends came knowing if they could take their friend, if they could bring their friend to Jesus, they knew that Jesus can heal him. So we see that they bore him. They carried him. As they carried him to where Jesus was at, they faced a problem. There was a problem that stood in front of them. Remember the multitude that gathered to see Jesus? The multitude and the great people that were gathered to see Jesus blocked their path to him. And if that was not the only problem, we see in verse 4 of the same chapter that the house where Jesus was in, it was full, all the way to the door, telling that no one can enter through the front door. But brethren, these men were determined. These men did whatever it takes to help their friend. See, if you look with me in verse 4 of that same chapter, it says, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed within the sick of the palsy laid. See, when these friends did whatever it takes. When the first way did not work for them, they didn't hang their heads and say, let's just go home. Again, they look at the second way. If they could get in through the crowd, there's no way they can go get through the door where Jesus was at. They didn't reason amongst themselves and say, whose idea was this? Or they didn't say to themselves, we tried. Let's just go home. See, brethren, these friends did whatever it takes. If the first way did not work, they look at the second way for them to get to Jesus, didn't work. It says there, they uncover the roof. They find means to go to the top of the house. And when they were on top of the house, they break it up. I don't know how you feel, but I would be very mad if somebody uses my roof as an entrance. But these men did not stop. They broke up the roof and let down their friend to Jesus. What can we learn from this story? What can we learn from these men? See, these men are examples of taking love to others the next level. In Leviticus 19:18 says there, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy God, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Again, Deuteronomy 10 verse 19. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were the strangers in the land of Egypt. And Jesus has something to say about this. Jesus said in Matthew 22 verse 37 to verse 39, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. This is the first and great command. And second, he didn't say third, and second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See, brethren, this is what these friends were doing. Instead of look what they want of themselves, they cared for someone else. They love someone else, their love, and they did whatever it takes for this person to see Jesus. Question. Are we doing whatever it takes to bring our friends to Jesus? Are we doing whatever it takes to bring our friends to Jesus? This reminds me of the story of Brother Salimu and my father. Some have not heard of Salimu. I think Kali and Cindy met him when they went to Samoa last year. See, Brother Salimu stated he was so thankful for our dad for not giving up on him. In his life growing up, he loves party. But my father keep on denying and try to stop him from going to the wrong crowd. He loves to go play sports, especially at 5 in the evening when all the youth of the village would come out and play volleyball. That is the best time that he's prepared to go and play and hang out with his friends. But that time, my father will tell him, go get ready. The car will be here in a few minutes to pick us up. The car was to pick my father up so they could go and study the Word of God. And Brother Salimu will tell us that he always hated it. He will not show my dad his ways of showing that he's disappointed and disliked, but he will show Brother Don. As he hopped in the car, he would slam the door, showing that I don't like where I'm going. And this carry on. Every time he goes to a party or every time he goes hang around with the wrong crowd, my father will always correct him. And he said, brother, I'm so thankful that your father did not give up on me. If he did give up on me, I would not know the truth. He is now preaching in Samoa. And every day as he sat down, he keeps going back and thinking, what if Brother Lua would give up on me? I won't see the truth. Brethren, we must do whatever it takes to bring our friends to Jesus. How about another question? Are we doing whatever it takes to bring our family to Jesus? Are we doing whatever it takes to bring our family to Jesus? When my father first started preaching the gospel in Samoa, one day he said to himself, why am I trying to save the world while my family is on fire? He didn't say that his family was burning in a literal fire, but he was referring to Jude 23. See, in Jude 23, there it says, and others save which fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Jude here is reminding the elect in the first century of warning of false teaching, and same time to be alert as a warning as he gives there. See, Jude is referencing to what has happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. You will find that in Genesis chapter 19, verse 15 and 16. As we read there that God has commanded Lot and his daughters and his wife to leave, for the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah is coming. And yet in that read, you will see that Lot, he lingered. And then God showed mercy and had angel says that held onto Lot, his daughter and his wife, and pulled them to safety. See, brethren, what will we do if we see a house that is on fire and our dad or our mom, sister, brother, or our children that is in this house and this house is on fire? What will we do? I believe with all my heart that we will do anything and whatever that we can do in our ability to go into that house and try to save our loved ones. I believe that even if we were to save them from the fire, we will put our life on the line of that love of our loved one. Reminds me of that day when we're in Samoa. We see Abraham's truck passing the house. We could see something was not right. He didn't stop. The car was going, his truck was going by fast. We have family members that came and saw him driving off and the way he was going. They've asked us what is going on. He almost got into an accident. But Abraham did whatever it takes to take Mel to get help. I believe, brethren, we will do whatever it takes to pull them out from the fire. It's the same reason and the same urgency that we need to have considering their souls. See, the Hebrew writers give us a warning in Hebrews 19 and verse 27. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man by receiving the things done in his body, according to the things he had done, whether be good or bad. Revelation 20:12. I saw the dead, small and great, some standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works. See, brethren, there comes a time that we will die. There comes a time that we will stand in front of judgment. And the just for God will judge us according to our works. We could not hide anything from God. Oh, what a sad situation that will be on that day when our family or our friend will turn to us as we are being judged, turn to us and say, why? Why haven't you said anything about the saving gospel? Aren't we family for you to tell me that this is the way for salvation? Or our friends will turn to us as we say and ask us, it's been 30 years we work together. We have lunch together. I invite you over to my house, and yet you don't tell me about the saving gospel. Oh, what a sad situation if they turn to us and say, we have the word that could save them, and we kept it to ourselves. See, I don't know about some, but I'm going away from judging characters that will obey and will not obey. I sometimes think if I look at someone that with his character and what he has, I will just judge myself and say, he won't obey the gospel. I'm not going to waste my time. Brethren, every soul is important. Every soul needs saving. We must do whatever it takes to save our friends and our family. In that same chapter, verses 5 down to verse 12 that we read of Mark 2, we see that Jesus dealing with the scribes. Jesus, seeing their faith of the friends with the palsy, says, son, thy sin be forgiven. We see verse 5. Then the scribes that were there, reasoning among themselves and evilness in their hearts, said in verse 6 and 7, why doeth this man thus speaketh blaspheming? Who can forgive sin but only God? Jesus knew the evil in their hearts. Jesus knew their evil thoughts. But Jesus said unto them in verse 8 and 9, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say to the sick of the palsy, arise and take up thy bed and walk. See, Jesus knew if he were to forgive this man with the palsy, it will be so easy that anybody can forgive somebody with a disease. But go with me to verse 10 and verse 12 of that same Mark. Verse 10 and verse 12. See, let's look at what Jesus did. But that ye may know. It's like Jesus is telling them, I will do this so you could see. As they ask, who is this person to forgive sin? And here's Jesus saying, but that ye may know the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sin, I said unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And when Jesus did that, The following verse say, and immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth beyond them. When this was done, it says, in so much that they were amazed. They glorified God, saying, we never saw in it this fashion. See, brethren, Jesus did whatever it takes to show and to prove them that he is the Son of God and that he has the power to forgive sins. Jesus did whatever it takes to save us. See, Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Brethren, without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing of right and wrong. And without life, there is no real living. Let's be reminded of the suffering that Jesus went through. He was scourged. We see that in John 19, verse 1. A crown placed on his head. Mark 15, 17. They spat on him and mocked him. Mark 15, 20. Then finally, they crucify him. Matthew 27, 35. When on the cross, as Jesus suffered all this, didn't say a word. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus did whatever it takes. See, brethren, the nails that they nailed Jesus to the cross, the nails didn't hold Jesus to the cross. It was his love that held him to the cross. It's his love for us that he stayed up in the cross. We sing a song. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. Honestly, he just could call one angel. But he died alone. Jesus did whatever it takes. And we know the story does not end there. We know that he became victorious. He won victory over death. That gives us so much encouragement to know and knowing that the war is been won. All we have to do is to win the battle. All we have to do is to save others. Live faithfully. Here we see Jesus doing whatever it takes to save us. It says, for ye know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, and that ye through his poverty may be rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Brethren, I know it's not easy. We could say that. Sometimes reaching out to our friends, sometimes reaching out to our family, it's not easy. Reminds me when my father first went to convert his father. As he went to convert his father turns around and tell him, why are you coming to me? I raised you. I gave birth to you. I taught you. Now you want to tell me what to do? Brethren, we will face with this kind of situation. Will not be easy. But I tell you that as we hear of what Jesus has done, That is our example. That is our motivation. We have to do whatever it takes. What have we learned from our lesson this afternoon? We've seen the four friends that did whatever it takes. We see Jesus did whatever it takes. I leave us with this. Will we do whatever it takes? If you are here this afternoon and not a child of God, you have heard the sermon. You've heard the lesson. Why don't you obey the gospel? Have today a beginning point of your life. Have the Lord Jesus be the master of your life by being baptized, being immersed into water, and he will add you to his church. If you are also here this afternoon and your this life and this world's worries and storm have caused you to fall back into the world, why not make today, this evening, to reconcile with him and leave justly with him and do whatever it takes to save the world, to save the lost. If you need prayers of the church, please let us know.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.